So today we're going to continue to focus on the book of James. I'm looking at chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 has quite a lot in it, so I'm going to focus on the second part, verses 11 to 17. The talk's entitled, What a Christian Feels. And really what I'm going to be talking about is about judging others and about creating plans which don't really leave a space for God in them. I'm going to start by just reading the first couple of verses, verses 11 and 12 of James chapter 4. Here we go. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, and one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour? So a really interesting little piece, and reflects, I think, what Jesus says in the Gospels. My fellowship group has been looking at Matthew's Gospel recently. And last week, we looked at chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. I'm just going to read you the first couple of verses of that, where Jesus says, Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you'll be judged. And with that measure, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we're kind of called to live in a judgment-free zone. Obviously, there must be some limits to this. I don't think that we're being asked to allow ourselves, because we don't make judgments, we're not being asked to allow ourselves to be exploited, but we're being called not to play God's role. He alone is the ultimate judge, and we're his servants. If there is judgment to be done, then it's God's job. It's his job. It's not ours. That's not our task. And that's, I think, what James is saying here, and he's reflecting what Jesus said. In our fellowship group, the fellowship group that I'm part of, there was some question of the extent to which we can really consider that the church should avoid judgment. And I guess that this is really very tricky judgment call, isn't it? It's a tricky balance. We do have to make judgments in some circumstances, particularly if it relates to safeguarding the vulnerable, for instance. But that, I suspect, is not what this passage is about. In so many ways, we do have to apply some understanding of what's inferred, and not just to see this tremendous advice as rules that are inflexible and fixed. And I have to confess, that's not something I find particularly easy. You see, when I was a child, my mum gave me various recommendations, which I then took as rules. I was reminded about this last week when Louise's talk mentioned a list of words related to sin. Deceit, lying, slander, false witness, exaggeration, profanity, anger, bitterness, lust, envy, boasting, gossip, flattery, pride, to name just a few. The last few on this list are really intriguing to me, because when my mum told me not to flatter people, I thought she meant that I should never say positive stuff to them. So my young wife, Jenny, never knew that I thought she was beautiful, talented and brilliant, because I never told her. I tried to avoid boasting about my children so they didn't get positive feedback. In business, I found marketing really difficult because it went against my upbringing. I wasn't to be proud, and I wasn't to speak of my achievements. Many of these extreme views have definitely been watered down, and they needed to be over the years. But they do sometimes still linger in my personality. And then there's gossip. For several years, Brian, our previous minister, was very concerned about gossip not taking place in our church. But we might have gone too far. An example of this happened recently and brought it to my mind was when Jenny's mum died on the 20th of December. I told quite a few people in the church and assumed that soon everybody would know. But sadly, there was quite a few of Jenny's church friends who didn't find out until several weeks later. I think passing on important news and gossip are completely different things. So, what's my point? Well, we must avoid being judgmental. I mean, I think that the passage is really clear, and Jesus' words from Matthew are absolutely clear as well. So we can't put a ban on who's going to attend our church, or even, I think, on who can be members. But that's different from ensuring that we safeguard the vulnerable, or anyone else for that matter, against being exploited or abused in any way. So important that we get that balance right, that we understand that it's in the end, it's God's job to be the judge. So let's look at the second part of this passage, James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. It's entitled, in my version, Boasting About Tomorrow. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So, what is so wrong with having a plan? Well, in essence, it's not the plan that's the problem. It's leaving God out of the plan and assuming that we actually have control over our own lives that is the issue. Lots of people had plans in 2020 and 2021, and almost all of them have been disrupted. We do not know what is going to happen next. That is how life works. We can plan, but we need to recognize that the plans may not come off. I think as a society, we are blighted by plans at times. I think we've made it particularly hard for our children. We kind of assume that everyone will learn, will mature, will grow in exactly the same pace. But it's just a convenient fabrication. It's not even vaguely true. We make plans for children, and many of them can't achieve them because we're all wonderfully different from one another. And in a classroom of pupils, there'll be a massive range of different talents, deficiencies, maturities, and everything else. And our brains work utterly different from each other at times. And it's not just in school that this is true. In the workplace, it's also true. And often we do not take this into account. Just so many people, their minds work in different ways. And yet we insist on planning one way for all. We all know that it doesn't work. It didn't work for me when I was a child 55 years ago. It didn't work for my children when they were at school. And it seems to me that it ain't working for my grandchildren's generation either. Why do you keep on using the same useless, unworkable plans? It's mad. It's mad in school. It's mad in the workplace. It's even a bit bonkers in church sometimes where we think everybody should be able to work the same way. And yet, God ain't like that. He recognizes that we are all different. And you can see that because our experience of him, in our experience of him, we all have a different kind of way of working. Planning needs to be undergirded by an understanding of the vagaries of life and the different needs of different people. It needs us to be God-centered and to be absolutely cognizant of the fragility of being human. James tells us that when he says, "We are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." We need to always recognize that all things must be done and planned in the light of, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That is a very good reminder. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. It's a reminder about how we should deal with our lives, our business, and our church. And let's not forget about faith. We can't plan in a vacuum, just thinking about the outcomes that we want. We need to work within the parameters of our faith. And at times, we'll be required to take risks. We'll have to put our lives into God's hands and take the risk of faith. And that can be really scary. But James addresses this question head on. He says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them." Every one of us is on a journey, a pilgrimage. It starts when we're born, and maybe it starts even before then, and ends at our death. This journey is life. My life is mine. Your life is yours. Some of the things that God calls me to are not the same as the things he calls you to do. We each need to grasp the vision that has been given for our own lives and not sin against the Heavenly Father by assuming that we each need to be the same. We are different. So God will set us different goals, different tasks to accomplish, and give us different challenges to overcome. Just because I have lived my life one way and you've lived a different way does not necessarily mean that one of us is right and the other is wrong. It's just different. And as long as we've been saved by the living God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, then we cannot compare. For we're all different. And our relationships with each other and with our Heavenly Father are also going to be different. And that takes us back to the concept of not judging one another. Let me read again, as I end, what Jesus said in Matthew. "Do not judge, for you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And in the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Amen. May God bless this word to our hearts. Let us just spend a moment in prayer before we move on to the next song. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word sown into our hearts. Enable us to live and to work to your praise and glory. May we plan, but plan in a godly way, always taking into account the needs of each of us. And may we live judgment-free lives. May our church be a judgment-free zone. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who suffer and are ill at this time. And we particularly, Lord, lift up to you Sue Hawkyard. Lord, take her and bring healing into her life. And we pray for Mike as he receives the terrible news of her recently discovered cancer. Bless them both. Bring healing, we pray. and may your plans succeed in their lives. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.